Welcome you to the second day of this crossover service. And God never does anything without preparing his people. And I mentioned yesterday that the objective of this two-day meeting is to get you to see yourself in scriptures. Pastor Bola used a phrase a few minutes ago. She said, when the penny drops. You know, when the penny drops, that's the day understanding comes. When the penny drops, until the penny drops in spiritual matters, there's no breakthrough. Until the penny drops on spiritual matters, there cannot be breakthrough. The day the penny drops for you, that is the materialization of your faith. One of the things I like about our faith is that it is a workable faith. It is workable. It is not, I am your pastor. I am called to preach the word of God to you. I am called to show you the things that my eyes have seen, that my hands have handled of the word of life, and I've come to instruct you. However, I am not your God. My middle name is not Jehovah. I am not Jesus Christ. Neither am I a demigod. I am not an idol. God has not sent me to be an idol to anybody. You know what I'm saying? That's one of the things I love about this faith. But what we have in scriptures is that you train people for the effective use and utilization of the word of God. And so the house of God, this house, is a training camp. It is not a house designed for you to idolize Pastor Eddie. No. It is not a house designed for me to be your God. I am no deity. So I don't need worship. I don't need bowing down to. But one thing I have learned, my assignment is to teach you the word of God the same way I use it. All through scriptures, God will always raise men. He will always raise prophets. He will always raise apostles. So that through whom he will bring his heart to bear in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so what I'm saying is that this year 2018 coming, in these 2 days of preparation, I need you to understand some things. Because if the penny doesn't drop for you, you will think that God doesn't work. Number two, you will panic. And when people panic, they do senseless things. When people panic, they replace God with man. Do you understand what I'm saying? When people panic, they leave themselves to fraud. In other words, someone will call you and tell you that, I want to pray for you, give me $500. And you'll be quite happy to pay out of the foolishness of your heart because you don't know. Do you understand? But I want you to understand that the word of God works. The word of God works. And that is why he sends people like myself and many others that he has called to bring you understanding. And what does that mean? It means that you have to take this, it's a learning point, and you have to master this. It's a spiritual education. God always visits people, and I want you to see yourself in scriptures. And we are looking through scripture and see how God visited people, the impact, the effect of his visit. Does God still visit people today? Yes, he does, and he will. And I'm praying that he will visit you. Amen. Amen. And I'm praying that you will send that invite out so that God will honor it and respond to it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So we established that God indeed visited people. So we went back to scriptures, and then we looked at that. We saw that he visited Adam and Eve. He came and he said, "Well, Adam, where are you?" He said, "I was hiding." So that means he came. He came. And I'm praying, my greatest prayer is that the penny will drop for you. Amen. Because the day you come into understanding, that day there's a shift. The day you come into understanding, a shift takes place. Faith comes and you're able to advance. And so God visits people, and he will visit me, and he will not bypass me. And so this is an expectation we must set from day one, from midnight on Sunday, right through to this same time next year. And so we saw that God visited Obed-Edom the Gittite. And so the Bible says that they came, he took the Ark of the Covenant into his house, and then God prospered him. These are documented facts. Documented facts. That's why I will charge you that if there's one investment you should make in your life, and I really, that if you're going to save up for it and visit the nation of Israel. You need to visit the nation of Israel. Because if not, you can worship what you don't know. It is all one thing to say, I believe. But when they show you some sites and they tell you the history behind those sites, it will, like they say, the penny will drop. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they are documented facts. And so we also say that God visited the people of Israel. I have heard the cry of my people, so I have come to visit them. Documented facts. That strip of land, when he came, that strip of land still exists till today. You cannot wipe them out. You cannot wipe them out because God visited them. The River Nile still exists. The Red Sea still exists. Everything is there. Jordan as a river still exists. So I want you to understand that we're not just talking about something that happened. We're not just being deceived here. This is more than a religion. It is a way of life. And it's a way of life that requires you to have a certain understanding of certain historical facts, spiritual facts, and then lay your faith upon it so that you can experience divinity. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We said that God visited Daniel. God visited Daniel. And so, where we left off yesterday, I said when God visits, two things happen. He brings a surprise and he brings a shock. When God visits, he surprises his people with blessing. I am sharing this with you so you can set your expectation for 2018. Expectation is what matters. Expectation is very important. What you expect is what you will receive. Expectation is very, very important. If you don't, your belief system rides on expectation. Your belief system rides on expectation. And so what I'm charging you and I to do today is to settle our expectation for 2018. So that it doesn't matter what you hear or what you see. You know that I know what I'm expecting and I will get it. That God will visit me and he will visit me with blessing. When God visits, he visits to perfect. He visits you with a blessing, and God also comes, he brings a shock. He brings a shock to the things that oppresses you. He brings a shock to the things. He brings a shock to the things that troubles you. Scriptural fact. Genesis 21, verse 6 to 7. When God visits, he visits to surprise. May God surprise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Genesis 21, verse 6. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Why is this woman? Sarah existed. Sarah, it was a woman. She lived. Historically documented fact. She lived. And this is her account. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age. What does that mean? We know the situation of Sarah. We know that for years she believed God for a child. And then one day, God visited her and God surprised her. God is in the business of visiting people. Don't let 2018, don't let your situation, your circumstances deceive you. Don't let the speed of your friends deceive you. Don't let the achievement of your friends deceive you. God still visits people, and when he visits, he surprises them positively. My God will surprise you positively in 2018 in the mighty name of Jesus. Her joy knew no bounds. When God visits you, your joy will know no bounds. God did the impossible by visiting her with a miracle. When God visits, he visits with a miracle. Set your expectation. You are no longer an ordinary person. You are a child of God. There is nothing impossible for God to do if you can set your expectation. There's nothing impossible for God to do. That is the story. The Bible is lit with scriptures and historically documented facts of people that they faced impossible situations that God made room for. God will make room for you. Set your expectation. He will visit you and he will surprise you positively. There was no rational way of explaining her conception. There was no rational way of explaining her conception. Not at that age. With God, all things are possible. And that is what I want you and I as a church, as a family, to subscribe to. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. If you do not give up. There's only one thing that can stop God. You giving up. You terminating your expectation before time. There was a young lady in this church many years ago. She was here illegally. And she said, so she didn't want to leave. She tried and tried, fought her papers, everything. She was believing God for a spouse. She was 53. And then one day, this is a true story. One day, I got a call saying that she has been arrested. And then they took her to only God knows where, somewhere up north. So Pastor Bola and I, we jumped to the car, we went to look for her. And so I remember when we saw her, you know, she was distressed. And I told her, I said, listen, don't worry. The same God in England is the same God in your nation. God does not respect nations. If you have enough faith that if you stay here, you will prosper, when you get to your country too, you will prosper. I say, God is not a respecter of anybody. God does not respect nations. Like my father will always tell me that a lizard in Africa will not become an alligator in Europe. No. You understand what I'm saying? It's not. So God does not respect. So they remove that barrier. But you know what happened? They deported her. And it's so interesting that the day she landed in her nation, she met a man. And that man eventually married her. Same year. So at the age of 53 or 54, she got married. Isn't that interesting? What she was fighting for. I want to say, but God is the one with her agenda. And I said, the guy I have for you is in Africa. He said, no, I want to stay. I said, what is your problem? So God had to ensure that he carried her. She fought tooth and nail. May they carry you to your blessing in Jesus' mighty name. No, I don't want to go. Hey, the rest said, no. God said, no. According to my agenda, I am visiting you. So they carried her. She fought, clawed. No, I'm not going there. They forced her. They restrained her. They handcuffed her. And they sent an escort with her. That's how bad it was. They sent an escort with her to her blessing. And heaven was determined that you have prayed that prayer. I have answered it. I am visiting you. Today she's married. Married. If maybe she was here, she'd be praying one nonsense prayer that God would not answer. When God visits, he will surprise you. One of my sons here, the same thing happened to him. He's a minister in our London, Lagos church. The same thing. But we fought. So the same thing. I called him. I said, son, come here. I said, if anything I have taught you from the age of 17 is true, I said, it's time to prove it. I said, pack your load and let's go. I said, take your stuff, let's go. I said, when the sole of your feet get to your nation, right? I said, prove everything I have taught you from the age of 17. Today is the director of a multimedia company. As we speak, he's resuming in Ghana with his family. on the 2nd of January. Who will make him the director of a media company here? You that have been here for the past... you that have been here with your soon-to-be-turned blue passport. Are you a director of a media company? Does that make sense? When God wants to visit you, he will visit you. And God says he will visit you, and he will visit you, and he will surprise you positively. So that was one. God turned, when God visits you, he turns a ridicule into a miracle. He turns a ridicule into a miracle. I want you to submit yourself to God. Please, don't joke. At least for anything else, you are in a good house where you are taught the truth of the word of God. That's all you need. Anything outside the truth of the word of God is gimmick. Gimmick is not sustainable. Gimmick is not sustainable. Anything that takes attention away from the word of God into the gift of a man, right, is fraud. Anything that takes attention away from the word of God to the gift of a man is fraud. Don't allow anybody to defraud you. This word has been, at least on the platform of this ministry, I have proven this for 14 years. Not just in my life, in the life of people that I lead. 14 years. This word works, but it requires something of you to set your expectation and believe and then be single-eyed. If you want to be a Christian, be a Christian. Don't play games. We're not playing games in 2018. God will visit us as a church. He will visit us as a family. He will visit every single one of you in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We see another surprise in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 48. Another surprise. So we saw Sarah. And another surprise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed." Another surprise visit. Why? It says, "And a virgin shall conceive and bear a child. And out of all the virgins in the land, God chose this woman." Mary, 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 Mary. And then God visited her. And then from a state of, how can this thing be? It became, everyone who hears this will be blessed. My God will surprise you in Jesus' mighty name. God surprised her and chose her for a divine cause. God surprised her and chose her for a divine God. I want you to leave yourself unto God. Allow God manage your life. Allow God manage your life. I want you to come to a place of total dependency, total trust in God for every area of your life, irrespective of what you see, what you hear, how you feel. God surprised her, chose her. Today, a Savior is born. Does that make sense? May God surprise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God surprised Sarah. God surprised Mary. Amen. God surprised Peter and his brothers. Acts chapter 12, verse 16. The Bible says, "Now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished." They were astonished. "But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison." How the Lord had brought him out. You know the story in Acts chapter 12, verse 16. And God went there, sent a messenger. An angel is a messenger. And God sent a messenger. "Go and visit that my son in prison. Go and visit that my son in prison." And the Bible says they got there, and then they took him by the hand, and the Bible says the gates of the city opened on its own accord. Listen very carefully. God still visits people, and God can visit you. God can visit you. And so the Bible says here, and he said, "Go tell these things to James and the brethren," and he departed and went to another place. If you read that story, when he knocked on the door, they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. Rhoda went and said, "Ah, it is Peter." They said, "Which Peter?" Somebody is in jail. Say, no, God has visited him and took him. These are documented facts to boost your faith. And anything in your life, anything you face that makes you, anything that confronts you, that makes it look as if your God is not able, is a lie. It's a lie. We are mentioning names and events, and your name will be mentioned and your event will be mentioned in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God's great act of visitation is still possible today. Praise the Lord. When God comes, he brings surprises, and he brings positive surprises. So from day one, midnight, I see God surprising you. I see God visiting you in every area of your life in the mighty name of Jesus. You will become a host, the host of Jehovah, the one who houses Jehovah, the one who carries his presence, the one that God is mindful of. This is a true reality, and you can experience it. But I want you to subscribe to it. I want you to tell yourself, I will experience God. I will experience his visitation, not just in one area of my life, but in every area of my life, I will experience his visitation. I want you to make up your mind. Let this be, I want you to decide from tonight and say, no matter what I hear, no matter what I see, no matter what comes across my way in 2018, I will wait for God's visitation. He will come and he will bless me and change my situation. Amen. Amen. When God comes, he comes to surprise positively. When he also comes, he comes to shock people. He comes to shock. Surprises and shocker. I love God. He's a shocker. He shocks people. Shocks people. Exodus 14, verse 27 to 28. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. When the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians. The Lord, not the Israelites overthrew the Egyptians. No, it says the Lord. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians. He overthrew them. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. Not so much. Come on, shocker one. Yeah. He specializes in shocking the things that stands against his word in your life. Shocker number one. Shocker number one. That's why we should not joke with our faith. That's why we should not joke with our faith. If you are already in faith as you are today, if you are going for it, go for it. Become a master at it. If you are a believer, be a believer. Amen. You go all in. You go big. Go all in. Go big. In your belief and in your expectation. Unfortunately, Pastor Eddie cannot measure your expectation. No. Only God can measure your expectation. Only God. He said, they that know their God shall be strong and they shall do exploits. I can't measure that. If I can measure it, I will be the first to measure it and come to your rescue. You know? But the body of Christ also is full of showmen and showwomen. The one that knows that his faith is not strong, right? But will not ask for help until the day of attack. Shocker number two, Herod. Herod, Acts 12:20. Now, Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord. And having made Blastus, the king's personal aide, their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, the voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man. The voice of a God and not of a man. Then immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him. You know what I call it? You know, backhand. Immediately, an angel. Are you reading that?
Yes, Pastor.
When we went to Israel, they showed us this place, didn't they? Herod, they showed us in the amphitheater where he was there. Where he was making mouth. And many of us are like that. We don't really believe that God exists. Or we believe because they said so. There is no personal encounter. You must seek for personal encounter. Personal encounter validates your faith. Don't serve the God of my friend. This God of my friend cannot produce results for you. Don't serve the God my mother introduced to me when I was a kid. And there are many like that today. Don't serve the God my father introduced to me when I was a kid. No, no. Serve the God that you have experienced personally. And so the Bible says, then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And so there are people as well that they don't give glory to God. And so God just put them under. And they'll be casting out demons in the name of Jesus. How do you rescue a man that God is punishing? Please listen very carefully. Now let's bring it back to your church. Have you not noticed? January is the month of Thanksgiving. December is the month of Thanksgiving. July is the month of praise. Standard. 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 Because I know God appreciates thanksgiving and giving him glory. Look at that. 3 months in a year, thanking God and giving him glory. December, January, and midpoint. Beginning, end, and midpoint. Beginning, end, and midpoint. Are you looking for the secret of this church? That's it. The same way God, the same hand they used to backhand Herod, is the same hand they used to pat us on the back. Did you catch that? The same hand he uses to slap the one who refused to give him glory, the one who sees only the things that don't work, that's the same hand. As he's slapping one, he's patting the other on the back. So we have heaven pat us on the back all the time. You can live your life in such a way that heaven pats you on the back all the time. He sends angels to visit you because you have given God all the glory. It doesn't matter what you go through, you give him all the glory. So you constantly get a spiritual pat on the back while he's slapping some. And there are some that God is slapping, right? You saw what happened to him after they slapped his mouth. Now, it's very interesting. It's very interesting that he wasn't the one saying that he's God. He wasn't the one saying that he's God. Now, were you careful enough to observe my disclaimer a few minutes ago? That I'm not a deity to anybody. I'm not your God. So I am walking scriptures. You've got to walk scriptures. But you cannot walk scriptures if you don't have an understanding. I have read this several times. And I said, oh foolish man, look at you. You fell for that trap. They praised him to his death. They praised him. They eulogized him to his death. You see that? Warning for you and warning for me, man of God. Forget that thing. Anything God has not done, let it not be on that. Forget that thing. No. Give God all the glory. Praise God. You are the one that is blessed. It's God that will give God all the glory. He's the one behind anything. He's the one behind anything. He's the one behind everything. Amen? Because I don't want to end up like Herod. Do you know how many people that God take promotion from? Take blessing from? Because they are ingrates. And so look at what the Bible says there. He said, and he was eaten by worms and died right there, right there, right there. And then, but the word of God grew and multiplied. He died, but the word grew. He died, but the word grew. He died, but the word of God grew, verse 24, and multiplied. Do you understand? A shocker number two. These are true. Amen. God will visit you. And say, so why did he say the word grew? In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. So what he's saying, and the glory of God increased. He was competing with the glory of God, and God took him out. Fact. Fact. Shocker number three. 2 Chronicles 20. Shocker number three. Are you blessed? Verse 22. Now, when they began to sing and to praise. See that again? When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah. Judah means praise. And they were defeated. Anything that comes against a child of God who lives a perpetual life of praise will be defeated.
Amen.
See, that's a spiritual fact. Spiritual fact. You need to understand these things. I want you to spend time in the Bible. I want you to seek after knowledge. There's a way you will seek after knowledge. There are certain things that just start working for you automatically because of the knowledge you have acquired. And the Bible says, it says, verse 23, for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked towards the multitudes, and there were dead bodies falling on the earth. No one had escaped. God fought their battles for them. Shocker. Shocker. Many of you won't even know the battles God is fighting for you. You just go to bed and wake up and keep doing your business as usual. But you don't know what battles God has fought for you. God dealt with the people, shocked them. May God shock anything that stands in your way next year in Jesus' mighty name. Anything that stands in your way that will not make you get into the very heart of God, the things that God has planned for you, I pray that they will get a shocker from God in Jesus' mighty name. Divine visitation is a covenant promise. It's a covenant promise. Genesis 21, it says, and the Lord visited Sarah, verse 1. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised or spoken. Genesis 21, verse 1. And the Lord visited. See, and the Lord visited. God visits people. And the Lord visited, and he did, and as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah, like he will do for you next year, what he had promised in his word. So divine visitation by revelation is a covenant promise. It's a covenant promise. I am very expectant. I am very expectant. I'm expectant on your behalf, and I'm expectant for the church. Amen. Divine visitation is an act of God's favor. It's an act of God's favor. What did Mary do? Nothing. 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 I pray God will favor you next year in Jesus' mighty name. Exodus 12, verse 35. It says, now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked for from the Egyptians articles of silver, of gold, and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus, they plundered the Egyptians. They did not leave empty. They collected all the unpaid entitlement in one night under God's visitation. All unpaid entitlement in one night. There's a gentleman that does commentary on TV. He's always a running joke in my home. Is it Max? What's his name? McMara? What's McMara? Huh? What's his name? Is it Mark Omar? The guy that says, I don't know Jeff. Amara. Kamara. That's his name, Kamara. Did you see he was, you've seen, when they mentioned the top 10 silliness and stupidity in football, they mentioned his name. The man that was hired to go run a commentary. And he could not organize himself to explain what he saw on the pitch. You've seen that? I don't know if you have seen that document. Now, under normal circumstances, right, that guy should be sacked. Right? But I don't know what's with him. In fact, of the fact that he made such a national disaster of that commentary, they love him. They love him. I don't know Jeff. He's now, even at home, when I say, what's happening? I say, well, I don't know Jeff. I don't know Jeff has become a slang, you know? I say, oh, you know Kamara. Oh, you know Kamara. Oh, you know. They just love him. You go and try it. There are people who don't do half. And they will get, in fact, one lady one day, she wore a bright yellow flower, yellow flowered dress, right, on TV to read the news. You know, right there, instantly, people complained so much, they sent her home. Yeah. Some said her dress was giving them a stroke. Seriously. They complained about her dressing. And they put her off her. And it was in the news the next day. Yeah. Now, someone did not do his job properly. They say, I'll let that one go ahead. You know, he's there. You know, it became humor. Do you understand what I'm saying? What am I saying? I'm saying that when God chooses to favor you, right, you can never get put your foot wrong when God chooses to favor you. When God chooses to favor you, you can never do anything wrong in the eyes of any man. Even your error will be forgiven. Does that make sense? How do you forgive an error such as the one Kamara made on TV, you know, and then how could you forget that kind of error, right? And then tell off a lady who chose a particular dress to wear to read the news. How do you do that? Does that not bother you? Have you not seen people at work that you just see them? I've seen many people like that. You just see them, you engage with them, and you just wonder, my goodness, how did you get this position? How did you get here? I mean, you just look at them, you're wondering, no, this is not fair. It's not fair. I should be on that seat, not you. But you cannot tell them. But you just look at them and they can't speak properly. They cannot articulate themselves. Their work is full of error. In fact, their work is full of error, but they get to correct the errors. And I give them the credit. You know that. It happens. It happens. Whenever you experience that, go and cry and say, God, visit me. Visit me. There's something called favor. So I've used an example from football and TV. They are not Christians, but we can see that thing at work. And yet there are some that will walk, go in the morning, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock in the morning, come back, sacrifice husband, sacrifice church, sacrifice children. I come back by 9 o'clock. At the end of the day, they won't appreciate them. And there's one who just, he just constantly go on breaks. If he's not going for coffee, he's going for Siggy. If he's not going for Siggy, he's going for, you know, he just goes, I come back. And then everybody just laughing. I used to have a guy like that, you know. I just hated the guy. I just hated the guy. All he does was just go from table to table, always very chatty. And the project manager just liked the guy. He seemed to have something to say all the time. Although while I was jealous and wishing I can talk like that, but at the same time, I just hated him. You know? I said, man, that's that. He's just, and then when you say hello, he just has something. He just goes. And then they just like him. He's very chatty. I here am I am banging myself on the computer and rolling out all the reports and do everything. And then they say, go and do it for 3 months. For 2 months, I'm over. And they say, oh, Eddie, are you done? I say, yeah, I'm done. Waiting for well done. I say, Favor. Psalm 102, verse 13. When God visits, it's an act of favor. It says, you will arise and have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. That set time is 2018.
Amen.
And it has come in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So there's a set time for your favor. There's a set time for your favor. There is a set time for your favor. There's a set time for your favor. Praise the Lord. God's visitation is a proof of God's sovereignty. He said, I am the God. I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. One. I can kill one. He said, I'm the one that can kill and make alive. He said, I'm the one that can bring one down and raise the other one up. You can't question me, my sovereignty. I pray that God will dispatch his sovereignty in your favor, in Jesus' mighty name. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 17. It says, again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities shall again spread out through prosperity. The Lord will again comfort Zion. He will again choose Jerusalem. He's the one that makes the choices. He said, why? He said, I choose this one. So I took it from this one, I gave it to this one. I said, oh no. We'll kill them. Go and kill them. They've been trying to kill them since 1948. And God said there'll be restoration after 70 years. After 70 years, Trump came in and declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel, as inscribed in scriptures. So when he competed against his own party and won, we said, this is a little bit weird, isn't it? How did he make it through primaries? I'm just saying, is this why he won? That the word of God be fulfilled? Remember in the Bible, God used Cyrus. God has used so many people who are not Christians. After 70 years to date, Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. I'm not saying, I'm just a thought. Because that would get me thinking. How do a man that the godfathers of American politics did not vote for? How does he end up becoming president? He ran against Democrats. He won. They would say, oh, he won't go far. And they brought allegation, valid allegation. I mean, this last one shocked me. They brought strings of women who said he groped them. And there was a recorded audio of him saying rubbish about women. He still won. Then the bloke, a governor somewhere, said something happened to him when he was many years ago. They said he should resign, and he resigned. There's just a lot of things that's not just adding up. But I'm not a politician. But one thing I know, the word of God will come to pass, and he can use anybody to favor you. When the time for your visitation has come, he can use anybody to favor you. He can use anybody, anything to favor you. The Lord sent me to Cyprus in 1994. And I got to Cyprus and needed to stay. It just so happened it's just very weird. It just so happened that when my father went to represent my nation in on IMF table, in the International Monetary Fund meeting, he represented the nation. He sat next to a Greek guy who was from Cyprus. Out of anything, he just threw the guy's card. Years, I'm talking about like 5, 7 to 10 years, he just had the guy's card. From nowhere I came, I said I want to go to Cyprus. I said, I remember this guy. So he went, put out a card, said, well, go look for this guy when you get there. So I got there. I asked the guy, I went to look for him, I saw him, and then I told him I want to stay in Cyprus. He said, okay. And it just so happened that this guy, this friend, this my father's friend, went to school with a gentleman who came from a certain village called Katomoni. Now, the chief of immigration of Cyprus at that time also comes from Katomoni, and they were next door neighbors. So I was like, wow, why this is, yeah, you're a very lucky boy. I said, I'm blessed. So pick up the phone, call his friend Andreas. Hey, Andreas, how are you? He said, I have a friend here. My friend's son is here. He needs to stay in Cyprus. He said, okay, so don't worry. I'll talk to dad. So he spoke to his dad, and the dad went next door, went to knock on the door, and went, you know, they are old men. When you see this guy, they are very old. Hey, Nabore, okay, ask him to come. That's how I end up saying in Cyprus. When God wants to help you, God had you in mind. If I had come straight from Africa to pastor a church like this, maybe I'll be like every other person here. Stretch your hand and say 1, 2, 3, 4, and money will drop. maybe I'll be very arrogant. Or worse still, maybe I won't have a testimony. Maybe I won't have a message. Because I was well buttered up where I come from. I'm a prince, you know. I don't look at it. I don't look at it. Serious. I'm telling you, well buttered up. So God sent me to the back side of the desert to go and, like David, to go and experience him and his word. So that I will have something to share with you. That's why I can sit down and I can teach you for the next 5 hours of the things my hands have seen, my hands have handled. It wasn't from school, it was from Cyprus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector. He was rich, and he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he stopped, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down. For today, I must stay at your house. Can you imagine that? I must stay. The sovereignty of God. God says to us, okay, come down. Today, party is on you. But there were crowds, there were people all around him. And he just stopped there, looked at the man, and in fact, this man was a tax collector. He would have been classified as an evil man. Yeah. I said, come down. I don't care what they say about you. Today, I am going to eat with you. That was it. Will you question him? No. But I pray that the sovereignty of God will be in your favor next year in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Five after effects of God's visitation. Quickly write this one down and I will close. Every time God visits, this is your expectation for 2018 now. Every time God visits, number one, a change must occur. Every time God visits, change must come. So expect change next year in Jesus' mighty name. From day one, set your heart. It doesn't matter what you see. Tell yourself, change is coming. Because change accompanies God's visitation. Yeah. Number two, it brings a lifting to his people. God will lift you up. He will raise you next year. One day of visitation, 430 years of oppression, bang, over. One day of visitation, 430 years of stories, God just terminated it and brought his children out. So God's visitation brings lifting to his people. So expect promotion next year. Expect to be lifted. And the kind of promotion will be one that when it happens, my God, your mates will look at you and say, no, it can't be true. So yes, it's true. Well, why did I say that? Psalm 126 verse 1. It says, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then we said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. That will be your testimony in Jesus' mighty name. The testimonies of God, when God visits, he brings a lifting that shocks the world. My lifting came 1997. You heard my story. How from nowhere, coming to UK, from nowhere, the kind of job I landed for one whole year, it was like, it was as if it was written in the Bible. One whole year. My pastor can't put a message without putting my name in it. One whole year. It was unbelievable. From where? You know, didn't school in England, just came fresh, fresco. But when God visited me, it was unbelievable. Till today. Dream. You see, I mean, I still dream. At times I saw myself working as a traffic warden. That was how traumatic it was. I still have nightmares of being in uniform. That let me not wake up and realize that it was a dream. I'm telling you, see, I have nightmares. How can you 4 degrees and be walking around giving tickets to people at 4 degrees? That's a curse. I mean, no offense if you're a traffic warden, you know, but you got to ask God to visit you. Traumatic. There are some things that you will think back now and you will say, very traumatic. God will surprise you next year.
Amen.
That trauma will become a testimony.
Amen.
That trauma will become a learning point for you to liberate others.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. When God visits, he raises his people. Number three, he brings judgment on his enemies. You know that. We've talked about that. He brings judgment on his enemies. And we've talked about all the three or four shockers. Right? And number four, he removes limitation. So that's from Acts 16:25-26. Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, God visited. When God visited, the Bible says there was a prison were shaking. Acts 16:25-26. So he removes limitation. He removed his people from shackles and then he freed them. God will visit you next year in the mighty name of Jesus. And lastly, it protects and preserves. God, when God visits, he protects and he preserves. Job 10:12. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. Praise the Lord. Psalm 91 verse 17. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because his visitation protects and preserves. Amen. Rise to your feet to this evening.